Okay, ready to dive in. Today we're exploring the work of Mate Gorgordabil,
a psychology professor at the University of the Basque Country.
You got it. And we're looking at a whole bunch of her research studies.
It's amazing the range she covers.
It is, right? From how little kids learn and grow to how older adults handle aging.
Yeah, she's really studied it all.
Seriously, everything. Parenting, child development, teenagers.
Social anxiety, even Alzheimer's disease.
Like the full spectrum of human behavior. It's incredible.
What's really cool is how all her research kind of connects.
Right. It's like she's building this giant puzzle of what makes us human.
One study at a time.
Exactly. And I love a good puzzle. So let's start with this one study.
Okay.
It looked at how parents' actions affect how kids between 2 and 5 years old behave.
Interesting.
Yeah, it turns out there are these things called internalizing and externalizing behaviors.
Which basically means?
How kids deal with their emotions.
Right, like holding them in or letting them out.
And Gorgordabil found that parents and teachers didn't always agree on what they were seeing in the same kid.
Oh, that makes sense. You know, what a parent sees as being shy, a teacher might see as withdrawal.
Exactly. And she also found that a family's income played a part.
Oh, in how kids behave.
Yeah, and in the way parents approach parenting, too.
So it's not just the kid, it's their whole world that matters.
It really is.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder about those early childhood programs.
Like preschool and stuff.
Yeah, could we make them better if we use these findings?
You mean, could we support families from different backgrounds better?
Exactly. Because one size doesn't fit all, right?
That's
okay, now get this. This one blew my mind. Children as young as 3 to 7 already have a super strong sense of their gender identity.
Wow, that young.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Gorgordabil thinks this is connected to how they pick up on gender roles and stereotypes.
Oh, so like what they see around them.
Yeah, like from TV, toys, even how adults act.
Makes you think, huh, about what messages we're sending them.
It really does. We have to be careful, right?
Absolutely.
Another study found a link between intelligence and emotional stability in 5-year-olds.
Interesting. So those two things are connected that early on.
It seems so. And get this, higher intelligence was linked to better self-image, motor skills, and being more emotionally stable.
So does that mean smarter kids are just better at everything, including handling their feelings?
It's a good question. I think it's more about how everything in development is linked.
So intelligence doesn't directly cause emotional stability.
Right, but both are affected by things like stimulating environment, good relationships, and chances to learn.
Okay, so it's more about having the right support to grow in all areas.
I think so. Now let's talk teenagers. Gorgordabil studied parenting styles.
And how they affect how well teenagers adjust, right?
You know it. Yeah. Socially, in school, emotionally, the whole picture. And she found that teenagers with parents who weren't very warm or affectionate.
They had a harder time, didn't they?
Yeah, they struggled more, both in school and in their personal lives.
It makes sense, though. Teenagers are going through so many changes. They need that love and support.
Absolutely, that foundation to help them through it all.
Exactly. And it's not just about saying, I love you. It's about showing it, being there for them.
Couldn't agree more. There's another study about school maladjustment in kids from 11 to 18.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. There were big jumps in maladjustment at certain ages.
You got it. 13 to 14 and again at 17 to 18.
Those transition times, starting high school and getting ready to graduate.
Exactly. It's like those ages are prime time for feeling overwhelmed.
Gorgordabil found that feeling inadequate was a risk factor, but close relationships with parents offered protection.
It's like those strong family bonds are a safety net during tough times.
Makes you appreciate the power of connection, doesn't it?
For sure. Okay, switching gears to something we can all relate to. Forgiveness. Gorgordabil looked at how forgiveness is different across generations and genders.
Oh, what did she find?
Well, parents were generally more forgiving than their kids. And women tended to be more forgiving than men.
Huh, I wonder why that is. Do we become more forgiving as we age?
Maybe. Or maybe it's about how we see our roles in society.
Or maybe it's both.
Right. It's fascinating. And I'm also curious about how she even defined forgiveness.
Yeah, it's such a complicated thing.
Right. It's not just saying the words. It's about truly letting go and moving on.
And her research actually looked at how different groups understand forgiveness.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So speaking of internal processes, let's talk about Gorgordabil's work with university students, specifically those dealing with social anxiety. She developed a questionnaire specifically for Spanish university students to help understand how social anxiety shows up.
And she found 5 main dimensions of social anxiety, right?
Yep. Public speaking, talking to strangers, interacting with the opposite sex, being assertive, and worrying about being embarrassed.
I think we've all felt those at some point.
Right. Now, here's the interesting part. She found big differences in anxiety levels between men and women.
Oh, really? But not much difference across different regions or majors.
Exactly. It's like some social anxiety triggers are universal, but how we experience them can be really personal.
That makes sense. It could depend on things like gender and personality.
Okay, one more study. This one looked at coping styles, feeling in control, and positive emotions in university students.
Then.
Well, feeling like you have control over your life, and having good coping skills, both led to more positive feelings.
Oh, so it's like having the freedom to choose your path and the tools to handle the bumps along the way.
Exactly. I wonder how we can help young adults build both of those things.
It's a great question, right? Because both seem really important for a happy life.
Now let's talk about Garrett Gordabil's research on emotional intelligence in adults and older adults.
Did she find that it changes as we age?
You know, her findings might surprise you. She didn't find any big age or gender differences in emotional intelligence itself.
Really? So we don't necessarily get wiser with age.
Well, maybe it's not about how MUCH emotional intelligence we have, but how we use EDIT.
That's a good point. Did she find any links between emotional intelligence and other traits?
She did. Emotional intelligence was linked to being less neurotic.
So less prone to negativity.
Exactly. And it was also linked to being more extroverted, agreeable, and conscientious.
So basically, emotional intelligence seems to go hand in hand with being more outgoing, kind, and responsible.
Pretty much. It really paints a positive picture of what it means to be emotionally intelligent.
It does. Now, let's shift gears to Garrett Gordabil's research on Alzheimer's disease. She used a really cool postural knowledge test.
I remember reading about that. What's it all about?
Well, it assesses a type of difficulty with skilled movements that's often seen in Alzheimer's.
What kind of difficulty?
It's called apraxia. Basically, people have trouble with movements, especially those involving objects. This test focuses on recognizing different body positions. Garrett Gordabil found that people with Alzheimer's had a particularly tough time recognizing transitive postures.
Transitive postures?
Yeah, those are positions that involve interacting with an object. Like, imagine someone holding a hammer, ready to hit a nail.
Oh, okay, I get it. That makes sense.
And what's fascinating is that recognizing these action-oriented postures was more challenging for people with Alzheimer's than recognizing, say, someone just standing with their arms crossed.
That is fascinating. I never would have thought about that.
But think about the implications. If we can better understand these subtle cognitive changes,
it could lead to better diagnosis and treatment, right?
Exactly. Okay, let's move on to a topic we can all appreciate. Creativity, Garrett Gordabil, combined data from 7 different studies to find the strongest links to creativity.
Wow, 7. That's a lot. What did she find?
A bunch of things, actually.
Sure.
Some of the strongest predictors were emotional intelligence, divergent thinking, openness to experience, and intrinsic motivation.
Divergent thinking, that's like thinking outside the box.
Right, exactly. It's about coming up with lots of different solutions.
That's so cool. So it's not just about being born creative. It's about developing these skills.
Right. It's about nurturing that creative potential.
Okay, last but not least, let's talk about therapeutic compliance. This study looked at patients with hypertension and type 2 diabetes.
Conditions that often need people to stick to their medication routines, right?
You got it. And what Garrett Gordabil found was that compliance rates were all over the place, with about half the patients taking their meds as they should.
Depending on how compliance was measured.
Right. It shows that even how you measure something like taking your medication can make a difference.
What else did she find?
A key takeaway was that a lot of people weren't actually taking their meds as they should. But those who understood their disease better were more likely to follow their treatment plans.
So it's not just about giving someone a prescription. It's about education and making sure they understand why they're taking the medication.
Exactly. It highlights how important clear communication and patient education are in healthcare.
It's about making patients active participants in their own health journey.
Couldn't agree more. Well, this has been quite a tour of Garrett Gordabil's research, from tiny toddlers to older adults and everything in between.
She certainly covers a lot. It's amazing how her work connects all these different parts of human behavior.
It really is. So what's one big takeaway that's sticking with you?
For me, it's the idea that we're all connected. These different aspects of human behavior, they're all intertwined.
I like that. It's a reminder to look at the whole picture, not just one piece of the puzzle. And we're just getting started. There's so much more to explore in Gary Gordeville's research.
I can't wait to dive into the next part. Welcome back to our deep dive into human behavior with the awesome research of Mike Garagordabil.
I'm ready for more. Last time we focused on things like intelligence and emotional stability.
Yeah, all those individual factors.
Right. Now I'm curious about the bigger picture. Like, how do those pieces fit into how we interact with each other and just life in general?
Well, let's go back to Garagordabil's work on social anxiety, specifically with those university students. Remember those triggers we talked about? Like public speaking and talking to strangers?
Yeah, definitely.
And turns out there's more to it.
Ooh, tell me more.
So even though those triggers seem pretty universal, she found some interesting differences between men and women.
Like what?
For example, men reported more anxiety about interacting with the opposite sex.
Interesting.
While women were more worried about being assertive and expressing anger or disagreement.
Huh. It's also like those expectations about how men and women should act actually contribute to their anxiety.
It really does highlight how much those gender roles can affect us.
Even in ways we don't realize, right?
Right. It makes you think about how we can create a more supportive environment for everyone.
Where people can just be themselves no matter what.
Exactly. Okay, let's switch gears to forgiveness. Remember how Garagordabil found that parents were more forgiving than their kids and women more than men?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about that one.
Me too. It makes you wonder about how forgiveness changes over time.
Does life just teach us to let go of things?
Maybe. Or maybe it's about priorities changing as we get older.
Like, we realize holding on to anger just isn't worth it.
Could be. Or maybe it has to do with social roles.
Like how women are often expected to be more nurturing.
It's a fascinating question for sure. I'm also curious about how people define forgiveness.
Me too. It's not as simple as just saying the words, right?
Definitely not. Garagordabil found differences in how people understood forgiveness, even across generations and genders.
Oh, wow. So what were some of those differences?
Well, some people saw it as letting go of anger. Others saw it as having empathy or finding a way to reconcile.
So many different ways to look at it.
Exactly. It's a really personal thing. Okay, let's zoom out and talk about emotional intelligence, specifically in adults and older adults.
I remember this one. What's it again?
Well, Garagordabil found that emotional intelligence itself didn't really change with age or gender.
So we don't automatically get wiser as we get older?
Apparently not. But she did find links between emotional intelligence and personality.
Oh, right. Like what?
Well, higher emotional intelligence was linked to being less neurotic, meaning less prone to negative emotions.
That makes sense, right? The more in tune you are with your emotions, the better you can handle them.
And emotional intelligence was also linked to being more extroverted, agreeable, and conscientious.
So basically, being emotionally intelligent means being more outgoing, kind, and responsible.
It seems that way. Okay, let's go back to Garagordabil's research on parenting, particularly the study on how parenting styles affect teenagers.
The one about teens whose parents weren't very warm and affectionate?
Yeah, that's the one. It really highlights how important that emotional support is during the teenage years.
And it's not just about saying, I love you, right?
Nope. It's about showing it, being there for them, really connecting.
Sometimes I think parents forget about those nonverbal cues.
Totally. It's about creating that safe space where teenagers can be themselves.
Well, they're figuring everything out.
Exactly. Now, what about that study on therapeutic compliance?
The one about people taking their medication.
Yeah, that one. It's interesting because even though compliance rates varied, overall, a lot of people weren't taking their medication as prescribed.
But people who understood their condition better were more likely to follow their treatment plan.
Exactly. It shows how important it is for patients to understand their health and be active in their own care.
It's like that feeling of control we talked about earlier.
Having autonomy over your own life, including your health.
Exactly. Now, creativity. Garagordabil really went all out analyzing data from 7 different studies just to pinpoint what makes people creative.
She really did, and she found some interesting stuff.
Like what?
Well, emotional intelligence, divergent thinking, openness to experience, intrinsic motivation, those were all strong predictors of creativity.
So it's not just about being born creative, it's about developing those skills and nurturing that potential.
Right. And it makes you think about how we can encourage creativity in everyone, not just artists and musicians.
I like that. We've covered a lot in this part, from social anxiety to forgiveness to emotional intelligence and creativity. It's a lot to process.
It is. What's sticking with you?
For me, it's the idea that even though human behavior is complex, we're also really adaptable.
Like, We have the power to change and grow throughout our lives.
Exactly. Whether it's overcoming anxiety, learning to forgive, or being more creative, there's always potential for growth.
That's a great takeaway. And there's still more to explore in Garrigor DeBeele's work.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the work of Meta Garrigor DeBeele.
It's been quite a journey exploring all this research.
It really has. So as we wrap things up, what are some of the big takeaways? Like, what do you think is most important for our listeners to remember?
Well, one thing that keeps coming up is the idea of taking a holistic approach to human development.
Like looking at the whole person, not just one part.
Exactly. Garrigor DeBeele's research shows over and over again how interconnected everything is. You know, our physical, cognitive, emotional, and social selves, they all influence each other.
Right. It's not enough to just focus on one thing.
And it's not just about recognizing those connections either. Mm. It's about using that knowledge to make a difference.
You mean like taking what we learn and turning it into action?
Yeah, exactly. Like if we know that teenagers who feel inadequate are more likely to struggle in school.
Then we can work on building their self-esteem and creating support systems.
So they feel like they belong.
I like that. Another important takeaway is understanding individual differences.
Right. Not everyone experiences the world in the same way.
We saw how things like gender, socioeconomic background, and culture can shape how people see and interact with the world.
It means we need to tailor our approaches, right?
Exactly. One size doesn't fit all.
Like when we're trying to help people with social anxiety,
we have to remember that men and women might experience it differently.
And when we're designing programs for young kids,
we need to think about the different needs of their families.
It's about being flexible and responsive, not rigid.
I think Garrigor DeBeele's research also shows that development is a lifelong process.
It's not something that just stops when you become an adult.
It's easy to think that way, though, right? Like, okay, I'm all grown up, this is it.
But we're always changing and growing, even as adults.
Whether it's learning new things, becoming more emotionally intelligent, or finding new ways to be creative.
There's always potential to keep evolving.
And it's not just about us as individuals, it's about our relationships, too.
Think about the research on forgiveness.
How our understanding of forgiveness can change over time.
It shows that our relationships are dynamic, they're always evolving.
And we can influence that evolution in positive ways.
I think that's a really hopeful message.
It is. As we wrap up this deep dive, I'm just amazed by the scope of Garrigor DeBeele's work.
She's done so much research.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's not just about understanding human behavior. It's about using that knowledge to make things better.
Her insights can help with everything from parenting to education to healthcare.
It's about taking those research findings and making a real difference in people's lives.
I think that's what makes her work so powerful.
Well, I think we've successfully navigated this deep dive into the incredible world of Mate Garrigor DeBeele's research.
It's been a pleasure exploring all these fascinating topics.
I hope our listeners have found it as insightful as we have.
Me too. And remember, this is just the beginning.
Keep exploring Garrigor DeBeele's work. Keep asking questions and keep learning.
Stay curious out there.
And we'll catch you on the next deep dive.